The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
All right, let's get along with the doggies. All you cowpokes out there, you cowboy fans, don't you just love them cowboys?
Did something happen last night?
Yeah, they lost again. First round of the playoffs that they were in. They can't get past the first round anymore. This is a team that...
So you're not celebrating, you're gloating.
No, I'm not even gloating. I'm just speaking the truth here. Jerry Jones needs to figure out what the problem is. He's got a major problem. You got the talent. You can't get over the hump. It's bad.
I tell you what, the 49ers always been hard to beat in the playoffs, though.
Always hard to beat for the Cowboys.
Just about anybody.
Dwight Clark, are you still around? I hope not. Joe Montana,
John
are you Bo still
Montana,
around?
He's still around.
I'm just saying.
He's doing commercials now.
Yeah. I didn't get to see a lot of the game, just a little bit of it. I did see the missed extra point by the kicker when he got blocked. He was 1 for 6 over his 6 tries for an extra point.
Oh, wow.
1 for 6 over the last few games. But he did hit a couple of field goals in the game, so you can't complain that he lost the game for him because he didn't. The quarterback is not coming through when they need him to come through. He really, really isn't. And I like the kid. I liked him when he played in the SEC. Who did he play for there, my sports guru over there?
Mississippi State.
Mississippi. I didn't know whether Mississippi or Mississippi State.
How many years has he been in the NFL?
Wow. Has he been in for a decade yet?
Almost 10 years. His first year was 2015, so 8 years.
So he's not
8 years, and he still can't get over the hump.
He's not a rookie then, is he?
No, he can't get over the hump, and he's a little bit injury-prone, which is not good. Now, if you're Jerry Jones and you really want to light a fire under him, on your first draft pick, you go out and you get a new quarterback.
There's got to be one person on the team when it's the playoffs, and it comes down to the minutes. There's got to be the superstar.
You got to be a Drew Pearson.
You got to be a, yeah. I mean, in basketball, it was Bird or Johnson.
You got
to
be Michael Irvin.
Or Jordan or Moses Malone back in the day. There has to be a superstar to stand up whenever the chips are down.
Here we go. Aaron, is Michael Irvin the last superstar wide receiver that got past the first round in the playoffs with the Cowboys?
I believe so. I really think so. I mean, there hasn't been.
It's been since what, 95, since they've gotten past the first round?
I was born in 1999. The Cowboys have never won a divisional game in my lifetime.
Goodness.
That is just not.
He's talking about going back to Roger Staubach now.
No, Troy Aikman. That's what you're talking. You're talking Troy Aikman, their last big hurrah. And this is a team that should not be the case because they do spend the money for the players. I mean, they gave Zach a huge contract. What was it, last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, see what he gets you?
Yeah, the defense, man. It's amazing to see.
They played lights out all night long until, what, the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, you can't play defense a whole game like you can offense.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't win a game you can get close to winning a game. You know, Bear Bryant said one time.
You got to score some points.
Yeah, Bear Bryant said one time he had a team 1 year they said thought it was a sin to let somebody to score. Yeah. So they needed very little offense, but you got to have a little bit.
You got to get a little bit at least. You got to score a couple points, three, two at least, get a safety, and then owe the other team to nothing.
I mean, in today's age, you've got to be able to play some type of defense, because if you can't stop anybody nowadays, it's very hard to keep somebody from scoring.
Well, what did San Francisco score? 19 points.
19 points.
If you can't win a game and the defense holds a competition to 19 points, if you can't win it at that point, you don't deserve the Super Bowl.
Well, you're right when you only can score 12. That won't get you to the Super Bowl.
It won't get you there.
All right, so here's what the championship series is set up for next weekend. It's going to be San Francisco and Philadelphia at Philadelphia. I don't know if anybody can beat Philadelphia. Philadelphia's awesome. They got a great team this year. And then over in the AFC, I'll be honest with you. All of you Bills fans, put your fingers in your ears for a moment. I was laughing after the Bills lost. I really was. Because remember at the beginning of the season, Aaron, nobody could beat the Bills this year.
I mean, it's the Bills. I mean, they've been doing this since the 90s. I mean, when they get to the playoffs, it's just
Machine Gun Kelly.
Falls apart, kind of like Arkansas.
Take you back to Machine Gun Kelly. Yeah. He could throw touchdowns until he got in the playoffs. He couldn't throw nothing. Yeah, bottom line, it was an amazing to watch Cincinnati literally. Now, if you watch that game, their offensive and defensive lines manhandled Buffalo, which was unbelievable to me because Buffalo has a great offensive and defensive line, but they manhandled them. I don't know where Buffalo was, but they sure weren't in that game. I think they had already bought their tickets to go to Atlanta to play on that neutral site against Kansas City. And what about Kansas City now, Aaron? What about Mahomes? He's got a high ankle sprain. He's gonna have some problems, but I don't count him out. Do you?
No. And they're playing the game in Kansas City.
Yes, they are.
Kansas City, this will be the third straight AFC championship hosted in Kansas City, Arrowhead.
Place is loud. I've been there during championship games.
And the crazy atmosphere. I think it's by far the craziest atmosphere in the NFL.
But I tell you what, talking about Kansas City's quarterback there,
yeah.
To me, he doesn't have the passion and the desire to win that some of the guys have had in the past.
Mahomes is pretty passionate when he's out on the field.
Yeah, he's good. But, I mean, it doesn't hurt him to lose. It just – it's like, oh, well, we lost today.
I don't buy that about him.
Well, I mean, if you go back to some of the old players, I mean,
I know some of the old players, but, you know, they were still – I mean, it's like Jim McMahon. Jim McMahon, he took that personal out on the football field, okay? He took it personal.
It was a desire to win that it was like life or death situation. These guys are making so much money now, it's like, to me, it just...
Yeah, I come back next year, I'm getting paid, you know. I agree with that. I don't disagree with that.
It's like the check's in the mail.
I think that kid from TCU, he reminds me a lot of Jim McMahon. That's what he reminds me of. You know, he doesn't have the pedigree that a lot of the other quarterbacks do that are up in the draft, but I think he'll go in the first five or six picks. I think the Colts need a quarterback. They'll have the second pick in the draft.
They got a quarterback though.
Oh Texas. Yeah,
they got Ellinger.
Well, we'll say he's got the QB designation.
I hate to say it, but I think Duggan's going to be another Sam Ellinger in the league.
Do you really?
I really do. I mean, if you look at the way they played in college, very similar. Now Sam ran the ball a lot more, I think. I just don't know.
If I had to pick one of them, Bennett. I like Bennett. Bennett is a real competitor. I like him. He's got some intangibles. Everybody says, "Well, he doesn't have the arm. He doesn't have this. He doesn't." All he does is what? Win. You know. Of course, if you put that much talent around a quarterback, it's hard to lose.
Also true, because Georgia, once again, off of the defense, is probably going to have three guys go in the top first round.
I'm sure they will have maybe even more than that.
You got a Who's that tackle?
Yeah, what's his name?
I'm not sure.
Starts with a C.
I'm not sure.
That guy's a cat. He can move from one end of the line down to the other and still make the tackle. He's amazing. He really is. He's amazing. He ate up TCU in the championship game. He just ate them alive on national television. He upped his signing bonus exponentially just in that one game. He really, really did. All right, so that's your two teams in the championship. We'll talk about that next Monday because the games are on Sunday. And it's going to be AFC, Kansas City against Cincinnati, and that will be at Kansas City at Arrowhead. And then they'll play in Philadelphia at Veterans Day. Is it still Veterans?
No, it's Lincoln Financial.
Okay, so somebody bought it. Okay.
Well, it's a new stadium. It's
yeah.
Not.
I loved Veterans. It was a great place. It was a good place that you could throw soda bottles from. No, I'm just kidding. But that's Philadelphia.
Is that a bunch?
Philadelphia. The great fans of Philadelphia. The only fans that have ever booed Santa Claus. All right, so be in Philly, and that, of course, be for the San Francisco 49ers. So Bozeman and his crew are going to roll in there and see. That's going to be two tremendous defenses going head-to-head.
I've got a Bengals 49ers Super Bowl again.
Oh, do you?
I do. I think San Francisco's defense, I think they've got the best defense in the league right now.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if Cincinnati makes it back this year after last year, they will win this year. They'll win the Super Bowl if
Joe
they get
Burrow
back.
Is the baddest dude in the NFL right
He's
now.
Tough. He's tough. And, you know, he's got kind of a baby face, but not as bad as what Allen does. Josh Allen, like, I thought he'd have some kind of stud muffin face. He don't have a stud muffin face. He looks like he's 15 years old. You see that commercial he does, a shaving commercial? He should be. They shouldn't let him use a blade. I'm just saying. And
it's true.
Do you agree with me? I mean, seriously, he's got a baby face, baby face. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. I got Camilla Harris. I got some audio for you. She was speaking in Florida over the weekend, talking about how Florida's, you know, they need to get with it and make abortion legal until the time of birth, basically. And she was quoting from the Declaration of Independence. You tell me what she forgot when we get back here on the Dave Elswick Show. Don't forget about PI Roofing. PI Roofing Home Solutions now, they'll work with you. They'll get you some good. Oh, by the way, Artie, there's fresh coffee. I can see you're wondering. There is fresh coffee. So anyway, you can sober up now. So the whole thing about the folks at PI Roofing, they will do your construction for you now. If you're like me, you could use somebody that can come in and do small jobs because there's no big construction company that's going to come in and do the type of jobs that I have. They'll just tell me they don't have time for it. Or they'll say, yeah, we might be able to get to it in November of next year, 2024. I can't wait that long. I want to get in the springtime this year, want to get my deck all decked out again, so to speak. They'll be out to take care of that. They came out, took a look at it, gave me a price quote, and wasn't bad. I'll take it, and we'll go from there. But all you have to do is do what you do when you need your roof fixed, is just call them. PI Roofing is at 501-707-3115. 501-707-3115. PI Roofing, your roof detectives, piroofing.com. All right. The VP was in Florida yesterday speaking out about how we need to codify Roe v. Wade so we can have abortion in every state in the union up until birth. You know, you can kill a kid up until birth.
Or maybe even a couple, 2-3 weeks after.
Yeah, depending on which state you're in.
Well,
bottom line, she was talking about it at a speech, and she started quoting from the Declaration of Independence. Now, you remember the president said, yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Remember? He started quoting it, and he couldn't quote it, and he says, you know what I'm talking about.
You know the thing.
Yeah, you know the thing. So anyway, she was out speaking. She forgot something in her speech, and with that, here is the excerpts when she's talking about the Declaration of Independence.
America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty. A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence. That we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
But not life. But wait, what did she forget?
And no creator.
Yeah. Not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness and liberty.
Who endowed it?
Yeah, well, she don't care. She don't care.
And what would you bet? I can't even define the term happiness as it was used in that
But I can't believe. Play that again. It's just amazing.
By our creator.
Let's hear this again. Here she goes again.
Inalienable rights.
Now, if you think she just forgot it, she didn't forget it. She just didn't say it. Here it is again.
America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty. A promise we made in the Declaration of Independence. That we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
There you go.
Forget
liberty and the pursuit of happiness. That's all it's all about. Go out, do whatever, anything that you want to do.
If you want to kill your neighbor, just shoot him.
Yeah, come on. No.
He has no right to life.
Not life. Nothing like that. That's not even considered. And there's people who say, well, she just forgot. No, she didn't.
No, she's not going to say
that
life.
That was not written in that speech. I'm just telling you.
She was at a death rally.
She left out two significant parts, endowed by our creator.
Well, yeah. She's a Democrat. Life. They don't believe in God. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to upset the Democrats out there. Yes, I did. Let's go back to when Obama was running for president, and they had their big convention, and they were trying to take God out of their platform. And you go,
it was close.
You go. Well, it wasn't even close. You go back and watch it, and there is no doubt. The people who wanted God out of the platform was bigger than the people who wanted God in there. It was only because the person had the gavel can go, the ayes have it, God stays. That's exactly what happened.
It's about like being back in Arkansas at a committee meeting all over again.
Yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But at least he had the fortitude to do that. I mean, I'm glad. Well, I don't know. It would be good for the Republicans.
I forget who had chair.
He had the political prowess to do it.
Exactly. It was a political move.
It won't be good if we take God.
This is not going to be good. So yeah. It'd have been good for Republicans if he'd went ahead and went with the crowd. I mean, but.
Now look, the Democrats here in Arkansas, they don't have God in their platform.
Have they taken it out here in Arkansas?
As far as I know, they did.
We need a platform so we can set them side by side and match them up.
Oh, Lord.
To the Republican.
When you're talking about 180. It is 180.
Lonoke just ordered 50 Republican platforms. We got to pick them up at the office.
They got the little books
the
again?
Ones. Yeah, they got it.
How much are they?
They don't have a lot of them. They gave us a deal on them. I mean, it was less than what it cost to produce them. I think it was $1 each. But
okay, that's
I think
not bad.
They only had 100 of them. But we got 50 for Lonoke County, so I'll get you one.
Okay.
We need the RPA get a printer so they can make those themselves.
Yeah.
Because I want to read this segment on education again. I want to read it on the air so everybody understands why our new governor and why the Republican majority in the House and the Senate must push through universal choice.
Well, we've seen in the past where there was a lot of people, governors and people in the House, who paid very little to no attention to the platform. But there's a lot of excitement in the Capitol today, and there's a lot of optimism that I've never seen in Arkansas in my lifetime, because people actually believe that we have an elected governor that will follow the platform.
And is going to do what she's supposed to do and has said she's going to do. That's what I like about Sarah already. She makes a statement, and then she follows it up with action, and it's bold action. It is bold action, and I've been waiting for that. I kept waiting for Asa to be bold. He doesn't. That word's not in his dictionary.
Not in his vocabulary, no.
It isn't.
He's a middle of the road, and he'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, he is, and that's not necessarily a good place to be.
From what I'm hearing from Sarah, I'm cautiously hopeful.
Oh, I'm beyond cautiously hopeful now. I'm just hopeful.
Me and Paul were at 50-50 whenever you took the poll on, is this really going, is school choice really going to happen? So me and Paul were trying to be polite, but we just hadn't seen it in our lifetimes yet. But
well, I mean,
we're starting to be
believers.
Hold
your thoughts. We'll come back. We'll talk about it after Bill O'Reilly. All right, yesterday, of course, was the March for Life out on the main drag Capitol Street
Avenue,
yesterday.
Yeah, did it
first time in a long time.
Yeah, I don't remember the last. I don't think I've ever been there when they were doing it on Capitol Avenue.
Yeah, I have, and it was great that it happened that way, because no Roe v. Wade this year,
right,
to be against. Although the battle, look, for all of you who think the battle is over, the battle is not over.
So I think Saturday was the anniversary for Roe v. Wade starting. It was a 50-year anniversary for starting.
50 years.
And so we had the march on Sunday.
They passed it when I was 20 years old.
Wow.
I didn't know if I'd ever see it.
This battle will never be over.
No, because you got people who want to keep it, make abortion now, where it was just the first trimester. Now they want to have it all the way until birth.
And after, even,
and,
in some cases.
And they want to remind you what the Constitution said, except they don't give you the whole thing that the Constitution says. So, and always remember that. Anybody says, did you hear what the Vice President said about what the Constitution says? Say, yeah, maybe if she would read it, she'd understand what's in it.
Yeah, so she mentioned being endowed with liberty and the right to liberty and property. You know, you left something out there, endowed.
No, she didn't say liberty and property. Come on, what did she say?
That's what she said, isn't it?
No,
liberty in the pursuit of happiness.
Yes,
you're right. Sorry,
I did mess that up, didn't I?
I did mess it up. So
you included too much.
Right.
You gave her too much credit.
There's a liberty in the pursuit of happiness. And so the thing is, though, that she used the word endowed, but endowed by who?
She left ownership out.
Perhaps she meant this in she were endowed by government, right? Is that what she believed?
That's what they
want to
believe.
As opposed to endowed by our Creator.
But you know that they did change it from property to
pursuit
of happiness.
Yeah, I think that would have been.
That's what they wanted, and so that people could understand it better.
So I think at that time, the pursuit of happiness, I don't believe was referring to an emotional state of mind, but rather a state of well-being. It was a
financial well-being.
Financial, and it's a term that we don't use today in the same way. Happiness today we think of as an emotional state of mind, but back then I think happiness was more like prosperity and pursuit of prosperity. And so that term happiness was probably a more encompassing term than the term property, which was, I think that happiness was, like Artie said, a replacement for the term life, liberty, and property.
Right.
Well, it was, like I said, first draft. Jefferson had property.
I think.
And then they turned it. They changed it.
It would have been useful.
Just like
term.
they got rid of the section on slavery before they passed it.
Yeah, we don't want to go full blown socialist. We're heading in that direction, but we don't want them to. Right now, I think we at Washington and very much at Little Rock in the past, when it comes to health care, very much a cronyism. Corporatism is that
of
what
course it is.
Corporatism to where the corporations are writing the bills and presenting them to the legislators and then running them. And mm-hmm. So, but you know, we want to back it up. We don't want in England. You know, the government actually owned the car manufacturers for many years and still owns a lot of the businesses.
And that's one of the kind of frustrating things. So back, I guess, a couple of years ago, some of the pretty hardcore free market loving legislators were actually supporting legislation to limit the ability of businesses to impose certain rules on their employees. And part of that, I think, is because of the blurring of the lines between business and government with these giant corporations that are effectively using government to impose their own personal preferences and policies on the American people.
You know, I ran into something this weekend. You know, Arkansas, now that we really are optimistic about peeling back some of the Democrat-ran policies in Arkansas over the past 100 years, let's look at some of these boards that we have if we're really going to look at that also. You know, there's a record board that was created, and these groups of powerful record board people that are appointed by the governor set up a monopoly, and they get to sitting around. They set up a price of what they're all going to charge. It's a whole lot like price fixing and saying, you can't compete in us unless you got this much insurance, you got this kind of record, you got to have a sticker that you're approved by somebody.
Right. As opposed to saying, you know what, I want to hire my friend R.D. Hopper to come haul a car for me.
Well, I got a call from somebody this weekend, and they'd had a wreck. And their car was in the middle of the road. And it was like, well, if they take our car to the impound lot, you know, it's going to be like $75 a day, $75 fee to get it in, $150 fee to get it out. You know, it costs $700 or $800 to get your car out of a storage lot. So I'm like, okay, all right. They didn't have them. I'll give you a credit card number and help you out because you don't have the cash on you.
Right.
And they're like, no, we don't take credit cards over the phone. We're taking it to the lot. And I said, well, where's the accident? And they told me, and I said, I'm about 5 minutes from there right now. I'm on my way.
You came
because I was getting aggravated.
Right,
you had a hook, huh?
Yeah, because so I said I'll be there in 5 minutes. So they said, "Well, no, we have to take a card from the person that owns the car. We can't take the card from somebody else that besides who owns the car.
Oh, that's
we're
crap.
We're going to take it to the storage
lot." Crap.
And I'm like, man. Do you guys have a license to steal and treat people this way?
And that is frustrating.
But they can do whatever they want because they have their own board and they can pass their own laws.
Call Easton Towing.
Yeah, but a lot of people do not know that you have the right when you have an accident. You have the right to request your towing service.
Yeah, be taken a certain place.
These people already had it hooked up, but yeah, if I'd have talked to them first, I'd have said, call East End or call somebody that we know.
Uh-huh.
But I won't mention any names. But with the record boards, the way it is, you know, people that don't have a lot of money lose their cars.
Right.
And a lot of times they can't get their medicine
out
of their cars.
I had a guy doing some contract work for me, and he's kind of has a tendency to be broke all the time. And he had a flat on his car, so he left it at a gas station for a couple hours, came back, and it was gone. And he couldn't afford to get it at Hawk. He didn't have the money to go get it. And, so he was going to lose it, I think, and I paid to get it out for him.
Yeah, I've helped people get their cars out so they can get their medicine out of it. But anyway.
Think about that. So you can get your medicine out.
Right, exactly. They wouldn't let these people get their personal belongings out of it. So, you know, I hate to see people taken advantage of. But anyway, we need to look at some of these licensing boards that a lot of the things that they do are to set up a monopoly and to stop free enterprise and small businesses.
No, I think that's a lot of what ends up happening. They claim is that this is to protect consumers. But, you know, I think in most cases it is not the consumers that bring this before the legislature because they want this protection. It is these industries themselves. It's like, oh, we need to protect the consumers. Well, where's the consumers who want it?
That's just like this socialist tire bill that the state come up with. Because they wanted to look like, you know, real good Greenleaf, Arkansas. I think somebody was running for president and wanted to look good on the leaf liquor side. it was going to stifle small businesses and tire centers.
Trying to tell people how to deal with tires and yeah, garbage and whoever else. And we got people that maybe have never pulled a tire off a car or off a wheel, trying to tell people how to handle them.
But I'd like to ask them, I was up there campaigning, lobbying against their tire bill, but how do you like your tire bill now?
Yeah, it's all screwed up.
How do you like it now?
Who can we find to sponsor a bill to fix that problem?
Do you think we got so much to roll back. I'm telling you,
why don't we get Lanny Fite to do it, since he's the one who pushed it so hard to get it through?
He's not in office anymore, is he?
I think he is, yes. I'm not sure, but
it was one of the governor's agenda from the beginning, Obamacare and raising gas tax prices. If y'all remember, he had a board when he started out, 8 years ago. Uh-huh. And on that board 8 years ago, there was an agenda. We were going to have, we're going to fund Obamacare, be better to the environment, and impose more taxes and get permanent taxes to support the road system. Mm. So we got it in the state constitution.
Sort of sounds like a Democrat.
Yeah, well, hey, middle of the road.
Mm. I think that's a realistic goal to talk to some legislators, and maybe we can get a tire bill to actually kind of fix some of those problems.
It needs to be free enterprise, and I think everybody knows now after they tried it is, hey, let's look at Indiana. And some other states
Let me just get Duck and Joe on. They had a way of doing it without any problem.
Well, that's good. Free. Hey, they're small business owners. They could probably do it profitably.
They can.
But the state can't do anything profitably if they haven't
In fact, I'll call Joe and ask him to join us during the show today. All right, a break. We got to get a break in. We got more coming your way here on the Dave Elswick Show, 101.1 FM, The Answer. He should be sentenced to something.
Somebody's got to take the fall.
Because I was talking about Wilkins, Pastor Wilkins, who was a Democrat legislator. I think that he was a House member, if I'm not mistaken.
Nice guy.
But
he's
caught
up with the wrong people.
Well, they waved some money in front of him. That's what happened. They waved money in front of him. And he wanted to take it. And he wanted to take it,
Started at the top and went down, I promise you.
Well, of course it did. It always starts at the top.
But it don't make it up to the top whenever there's
well, no, all you got to look is Maggio. Maggio was found guilty of taking a bribe.
He was on the bottom.
Nothing happened to the people who gave the bribe. That still amazes me. And we've talked about that several times here on the air.
It always goes downhill to the guy at the bottom.
Well, we've always talked about what rolls downhill. And if you're at the bottom, it all falls on you. And that's not a good place to be when it's rolling downhill like that.
It's sad that the people that instigate it don't ever get their hands slapped even.
Yeah, well, they tell the people that are investigating, if you look at this person's stuff, you'll know there's some problems. Mm. You didn't hear it from me, unless you're going to come after me, and then I want a deal.
Somebody might have to step down and go work for the president.
Who knows?
I'm not very much in the thing with these plea deals that they get. If you say, we'll give you a very sweet plea deal if you'll testify against this guy, how good is that testimony? I mean, that's nearly worthless. You bribe the guy.
Doesn't matter now if you're willing to give him up. The prosecutors are willing to take it.
I know, but why should that testimony be?
What's the credibility?
What's the credibility?
Because it is what it is.
What song do you want me to sing? I'll sing it for you.
What I tell you? It is what it is.
Same old song and dance. What do you want?
Take one bird in hand instead of two in a bush. They'd like to have both, but if they can get a sure one, they'll take the sure one. That's the way it always works. It's always gone that way. So
terrorize them into confessing to something they maybe didn't even do.
Bottom line, it's a sad state of affairs. But Maggio, he's getting out here pretty soon.
He's already out.
Is he out now?
Uh-huh. I think he is.
I wonder if he'd come on and talk about it.
He might. You may ask him.
Yeah. I got a hold of Joe. Joe can't make it today. He's under the weather. He is battling the flu, so I'll make a call and see if I can get Duck. You know, can't get Joe, we'll go for his twin brother.
His diesel counterpart.
I still have his cell phone number. I don't know if it's any good.
Yeah, try to get him on and see if he won't come on. But anyway, yeah, he probably got a new cell phone. I'll tell you, you know, it happens when you go to prison.
The people that leads to has never got their hands slapped.
So we got to see what happens. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there. I mean, Jeremy Hutchinson, he's been doing a fast taff dance, as far as I can tell, to be able to stay out of prison.
He hasn't stayed out of prison. He's in prison right now, isn't he?
Hutchinson? Yeah. I didn't think he was.
I think he's incarcerated right now. Maybe I'm wrong.
I didn't think so. I think he's out on his own recognizance.
You may be right about that.
But the bottom line, you know, if you have something to offer to the prosecutors, you know, you start making deals. That's why you'll hear them say there's no among thieves.
Well, I tell you what, among family,
no loyalty,
whatever.
How about among family?
even that's bad. You and family.
Remember, I tell you what, you remind me of Susan McDougal. I tell you what, she was tough, wasn't she?
She just took it.
He just got picked up for not paying child support, actually.
No, did he?
Mm-hmm. And well, Jeremy Hutchinson arrested on. Let me see. My computer just back child support. Okay. It was hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Kind
of
like Hunter Biden, who will never see a day in jail, probably.
Maybe so.
I don't know if he will or not. It's unbelievable about how he's gotten away with everything.
I don't know. Some of the stuff they're kind of pulling out on
Hunter Biden. And we thought Billy Beer was bad. A lot of people, remember Carter and his brother Billy?
Yeah.
Now Billy made hay over their name, buddy. He's making money. Mm. He came out with Billy Beer. Mm. And, the president wasn't happy about it, but Billy was. He made a lot of money. Of course, then there was Roger. See, there's another brother. Mm. Bill Clinton's brother.
He got pardoned.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me. I didn't mean to do that in the microphone. Anyway, what can I say? That's what he's known for. Drugs. He didn't do a lot of time. I think he did a little bit of time, but not a lot of time. Not as much as some poor kid down in the ghetto selling crack cocaine.
Yeah, if you come from a small town, you see early on that the laws do not apply evenly to everybody in the in the county.
Oh no!
I mean,
he who has the gold rules.
Yeah, so you see that early on, but sometimes it makes more of a fighter out of you to want to be able to change the system and take on some of the bullies. But whenever you see it, I mean, you see it in schools. You look up Washington County and all the battles that are going on the schools up there. There's some people up there in Washington County that are fighting in the trenches for their children.
Oh, yeah. Huge. All right, got to get a break in. News is coming up next. After the news, R.D. Hopper, Paul Calvert, and myself will be back here on the Dave Elswick Show. Got a lot more to talk about. We've just been scratching the surface here. Go Cowboys! We'll be back after the news. Evidently.
There was just one of them dressed up that way.
Oh, was there just one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There were some others there.
I keep saying if they show up in force dressed up as drag queens, it's going to be a clown show. Because that's what it will look like.
There was just one of them. It was all dolled up. I was at the committee when it happened.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
How many people were there?
You know, it wasn't just a packed committee.
They had quite a few out on the front steps.
Did
later.
They? Okay. Yeah. But in the committee, there was just one that was dressed up. He was dressed up quite a bit.
See, I don't understand what their heartburn is with Stubblefield and Bentley's bill, because it's all about schools and things of that nature and it being
so
that you can't do it.
It's actually very limited too, from what I understand. Yeah. It's only limited to classify drag shows that are basically sexually explicit.
I think. It's kind of the – as prurient is the word they used.
Yeah, well, let me give you – Aaron, we still got that cut I got from one of the country's most popular drag queens. You still have that?
Yeah, give me 1 second. I'll go find it.
Okay, let's play that.
So it was so limited in scope that – you know, it wouldn't even outlaw drag queen story hour. So if they want to dress up in drag and read to kids, that wasn't outlawed by this bill. It only outlaws drag queen shows where the behavior is kind of explicit, basically. So it's
if they're getting really, really upset about it, what's that tell you?
They're wanting to
indoctrinate our children.
They're wanting to be explicit with children.
Yeah, thank you.
That's, yeah, and so
that's exactly what that means.
Because it isn't. It wasn't. I mean, the bill was very limited in nature, from what I could tell, and it was. And so it didn't outlaw drag. It just outlawed drag of an explicit nature. Essentially, it was the understanding that I got of it, because it was. They're using this word that I'm not really familiar with, but apparently it's a term used.
Puritan. It means sexual. Or something like.
Yeah, it's kind of a sexual.
In nature.
Yeah, it's kind of like the difference between a strip club versus the hospital. You might see some nudity in both places, but the reality is in the hospital, we know that's just incidental, whereas at the strip club, it's on purpose for specific reasons.
All right, so I've got a piece of audio here that I'd like you to hear. This is a drag queen who is one of the best known drag queens in the United States, and what he had to say about drag queens coming to your kids' school.
I have no idea why you want drag queens to read books to your children. I have no idea. What in the hell has a drag queen ever done to make you have so much respect for them and admire them so much, other than put on makeup and jump on the floor and writhe around and do sexual things on stage? I have absolutely no idea why you would want that to influence your child.
Thank you very much.
Good question, huh?
Thank you very much. Somebody honest.
Yeah.
To what he described just then, I think that was what this bill was prohibiting. And it was going to classify it as adult entertainment. And so you can still have it in the adult strip or in adult clubs, but it was going to be blocked from.
Here's the other thing. I don't want to see them bring them in and have them read to kids, and then somebody stands up in front and starts talking about gender identity and stuff like that. I don't want that happening either.
That's what it is, you know. We don't want straight strippers read. We don't want strippers read to our children either.
Yeah, we're not talking. Now, I'm going to go back in time here, but we're not talking Milton Berle here. We're not talking Bosom Buddies here.
Right, exactly.
All right, that's not what we're talking. We're not talking about using, drag queen stuff as a comic foil. That's not what we're talking here.
This is
Flip Wilson.
This is
back in the day.
Yeah, Geraldine. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a little more.
A little more.
More of a what the guy just described on the audio clip that we just had. It was. I think it would have to be of the nature of. Like you said, rolling around the floor doing sexual things is what he was describing. I think that is kind of the idea of purient behavior.
Because here's the key. If you tell somebody who's in drag that they can't even, they can't read a book, can't come in and read a book, then you can't bring a clown in.
Right. And so
you can't bring a clown
because
in.
Because the reality
but now,
is
they
is
start
that,
talking about what it means to be a drag queen and how you got to be happy with your sexuality and all of that, then things change.
That could become more questionable. But the thing is, though, that it's not a criminal act for a man to dress in clothing that is perfectly legal for a woman to wear. It's gross to look at, but the reality is that's in our society, we don't make it a crime for people to do things that are offensive. There's got to be something beyond just the fact that it offends my sense
in,
of
in this country, you have the right and the freedom, and everybody listening to the show and everybody out there is going to agree. You have the right and the freedom to do what you want to in your own house, or you can dress how you want if you want to go to the grocery store. But it doesn't mean you can go into the school system and indoctrinate our children and try to convince our children that your lifestyle is an acceptable lifestyle. It is the parents. It's a parent's obligation to teach their children, well, and it's not your obligation.
Well, especially when it's deviant behavior. Because the reality is that it's good and wholesome for anybody to talk about their wife or husband if they're straight. It's good and wholesome for them to talk about their relationship, assuming it's reasonable things. They're not talking about their sexual relationship with their spouse. But if you're talking to a group of kids from church, it's not unreasonable to say, hey, my wife and I have these discussions and we get along real well. And that's reasonable for you to say that. But if you were a homosexual and you were talking to children and talking about your husband, that's a problem. I think it really is. I think it is a problem. And so when a school teacher is a homosexual and they talk to their students about their spouse, I've got a problem with that. And because it is normalizing this deviant behavior that is actually quite harmful. And so one of the things that's brought up is that homosexuals and transgender people, I think, are about four times as likely to commit suicide. That sounds like a very good reason to discourage that behavior. It sounds like a good reason. I mean, why would you discourage a behavior that has a statistical likelihood of that, of such a high rate of suicide?
Because they'll tell you from the other side, they're born that way. That's what they'll tell you. They're born that way.
And of course,
that's and people not have bought into that argument, even though there's been no genetic discovery that shows that people are born that
way. There's not. And sometimes there is trauma involved that seems to correlate with people getting into homosexuality or transgenderism.
That's not just trauma. You might have an over-dotting mom.
Right.
I mean, that
right.
can so, be part
so,
of it.
Right. And so you can have all
I
these
guess
different
it's
factors.
Doting, pardon
it,
me.
It doesn't justify the behavior, but that's some of the factors that are involved a lot of times. However, it is still an issue of sin. It's one of those things that you can control it. A lot of times people don't develop the self-control, and so it makes it very much harder to control these urges and desires and feelings. But the reality is that we need to learn how to control it. We need to help people learn how to control it. And I think that's one of the things that can help some of these people. I went to a little seminar over the weekend dealing with this issue, and the guy was a therapist, and he was talking about how a lot of the people that he – actually all of the people that he deals with as a therapist, they've all got traumatic childhood events in their history that is somehow precipitated these problems. And so he says that almost universally, I guess, when he can actually help them work through these problems that they have, that a lot of the homosexual thoughts and feelings just start going away. Uh-huh. And it actually helps them fix their issues because they're fixing some of the underlying problems that are that are driving some of these.
You know, things. We're getting back to coming down. You know, this country was built on justice and a source of authority of right and wrong. Well, this country had a foundation. This was one nation.
It was based on the Bible. Right.
This country was founded as one nation under God. God gives men free will and the freedom to choose the path that they want to go down. You can go down either path you want, sure. But there has to be a source of authority for right and wrong, sure. And there is a point to where your freedom crosses over the line on my rights. Mm-hmm. And the Bible is the source of authority for what right and wrong is. And you have the freedom until you start coming into sure. my neighborhood. And when you start teaching my children what you want to do, that's when you cross the line.
If you think that talking about transgenderism is confusing, it's gotten even more confusing. Meta, that's Facebook, of course, and others want to free the nipple on pictures on Facebook and things of that nature. I'll tell you why when we come back. Pat Davis wants you to know your health plan man is ready to help you out. Save you 30 to 50% right off the top on your health insurance. That can be an unbelievable gain in money for you over the course of a year. Get rid of your co-pays. Cut back on the money you got to pay before you even can use your insurance. And sometimes that can be $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000. Be nice to be able to keep that in your pocket as well. What you need to do is call Pat Davis or text him at 501-605-6935. And one of himself or one of his many workers will get back in touch with you and help you start saving money. Again, call or text 501-605-6935, or if you'd like, send your questions to Your Health Plan Man. That's one word, yourhealthplanman.com. All right, back with you. I'm going to tell you, traffic was heavy today. I came in, I was, you know, I don't start till 7 now, so I don't have to be here at, you know, butt crack of dawn. So I basically leave the house at about 5:45 to come on in. And at 5:50, I was out on 67, and it was bumper to bumper.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was really, really heavy. I couldn't believe how heavy it was.
It's a whole different ball game.
Just getting on Highway 5 from my suburb was tough. Mm.
Yeah, I live just a few miles, a couple, two, 3 miles off of a major highway there out of Greenbrier, and I had to wait a little while to get on the highway.
Yeah. A lot of cars out there today.
Yeah, especially compared to – usually I leave my house at about maybe about 5 o'clock. I used to.
Yeah.
And, to get here at 6. And
that's you, man.
That is my – yeah, my phone is vibrating there. Yeah, when it sets on the desk, it vibrates the whole thing.
Yeah, hang up on them. They'll get the message. Yeah. All right, so I told everybody – and by the way, coming up at 8:30, Hannity's going to be with us. Get your shot of Hannity this way. Bottom line, now it's the free to nipple. I guess you've heard about this. This thing's been going on for years.
This may be getting over my age group. I don't know.
No. The reason, let's talk. Why do you think, you know, it used to be you couldn't show a woman's nipple on, Twitter or Facebook or whatever.
They're wanting equality.
No. It's more than that.
Is it more than that?
Yeah. Why would they be saying that they have to loosen the rules up on this?
Transgenderism?
Ah! The restrictions and exceptions to the rules on female nipples are extensive and confusing, particularly as they apply to transgender and non-binary people. It says exceptions to the policy range from protests to scenes of childbirth and medical and health context, including top surgery and breast cancer awareness. These exceptions are often convoluted and even poorly defined. The lack of clarity around the policies is confusing and makes them unworkable in practice. So the board's decision, the board of Meta, Tuesday of last week, told Facebook, you got to change this. Got to make nipples more, showable.
Accessible.
Yeah. Board's decision came after it overturned a decision by Instagram to remove two posts by U.S.-based non-binary and transgender couple. The post published in 2021-2022 showed a picture of the couple bare-chested with their nipples covered. The caption said they were trying to raise funds for top surgery. The posts were reported, removed for violating the sexual solicitation community standard because the pictures contain breasts and a link to a fundraising page. The company appealed to Meta and the board, and the board accepted the case. Meta then said it had made an error and reinstated the photos. Here the board finds, and this is from Meta, here the board finds that Meta's policies on adult nudity result in greater barriers to expression for women, trans, and gender non-binary people on its platforms. It should change its approach to managing nudity on its platforms by defining clear criteria to govern the adult nudity and sexual activity policy. which ensure all users are treated in a manner consistent with human rights standards. So the your ability to show your nipples is a human right now.
So the thing is, though, that with all this transgenderism stuff, if the law is going to start recognizing these people who declare, hey, I'm a woman now or I'm a man, if a woman wants to go topless on the beach, all she has to do is say, oh, I'm a man.
Yeah,
to make
identify
it legal.
As a man.
You can't separate the difference between a man and a woman's body.
Not anymore.
It's like a man's body and a woman's body is the same thing, so you can't have separate
rules. Now, here's
rules.
My question. What if a man identifies as a woman and hasn't changed their mind on other body parts? I mean, those body parts can't be shown either.
Well, there's no end to this.
I agree with you.
There is no end to it, guys.
Well, but we've
left the barn.
But it's just like the thing is though that there's standards on assault and things of that nature. It's like if somebody comes up and grabs my chest, that's not sexual assault. But if you do it to a woman, it is. And so that are we going to
soon it will be?
Are you going to change
fair.
That?
I mean, yeah, but you have to be identifying as the opposite sex to be sexual. Assault.
Right, so if I identify as a woman just because I want to prosecute somebody.
Now, I would say that if a homosexual man grabbed your nipples, that might be sexual assault, too.
It might, and he might actually end up with a broken wrist. But the thing is...
Probably would end up with a broken nose in my case.
Well, and the thing is that then that should be legal as well, I think, because it's just self-defense.
Boy, but, it's a sad state of affairs. I tell you what, before you know it, you're not going to be able to be on the Internet without seeing, without separating
full
from...
Full nudity.
Well, you can't... I mean, now you can't watch, you know, Leave It to Beaver on cable... Without seeing, you know, homosexuals on the commercials.
So my mom likes to watch Wheel of Fortune sometimes. So I'll sit down and watch it with her sometimes.
Ding, 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 Wheel.
And they had a guy on there the other night that was talking about his husband.
Yeah, well.
I'm not surprised.
There's no reason to. Oh yeah.
These home improvement shows, people. There's an agenda. None of this is an accident. The 2% is showing up on TV,
normalizing.
40% of the time right now, trying to normalize things. There's an agenda out there. Pretty soon, the TVs are going to have to go. The cable's going to have to go. And I mean, it's sad that if you're going to have to get some kind of filters on the... There will have to be new filters on the Internet.
Hey,
I don't know.
I got rid of Disney streaming because they came out and said 50% of their characters were going to be, trans, LGBT plus.
I was at a place talking...
30 seconds.
I was at a place talking to a lady that cuts hair, and she said that her son... She said, "Boy, you watch it. You'll be getting a girlfriend before you know it." And he said, "Well, if it's like on the cartoons I'm watching, I might get a boyfriend."
Oh.
And the mother about had a heart attack.
All right, we're going to talk about that when we come back here on the Dave Ellswick Strange World. Didn't do well at the theaters because of that. We'll talk about it. Okay, hey, Aaron, what are they saying about the high for Wednesday? We're going to be over freezing.
Oh, yeah, we're high for Wednesday right now is looking like it's 44 degrees.
Okay, so whatever falls over Wednesday night, it'll be bad coming in, but by the afternoon, a lot of it will be already beaten off the street and have melted, then is what we can hope for. Okay, then it's going to get cold Wednesday night and freeze back up a little bit, and you have to be careful that next morning, Thursday morning, driving in, going over the bridges, got to be careful. Last thing you want to do is take an ice ride when you're out on 67 or whatever. Suddenly find that doesn't matter how you turn your wheel, car's going where it wants to go.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that, you know, if you can learn how to feel how to get out of a skid, it's a good thing to learn when you're not in the middle of traffic.
Yeah, you got to learn how to turn into a skid.
Right, and so some of that...
If you don't, you're in trouble.
You know, when you see teenage boys out on a big open parking lot doing donuts in the ice and snow, it's not actually necessarily a bad thing because it teaches them to feel it, because you can't tell someone how to do it. It's got to be something you feel. It's something it has to be kind of second nature to you to actually be able to pull it off while you're in the
moment. Well, since they used to or they still do, they still have like skateboard parks. Mm. Should we have donut parks?
And so the thing is, you know, if you grew up on
what do you think? What do you think there, RD? Could we do that and have some fun?
All they need is a dirt road.
And that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. If you grow up on a dirt road and you end up kind of drifting around the corners and you learn how to drive in a skid, because a dirt road, a gravel road, a lot of times you're kind of in a constant skid all the time because you're losing traction.
Well, everybody drives in the middle, so there's humps where you really need to be in gravel. So when you meet somebody, you have to get on top of the gravel and you have to learn how to drive sideways, right. There's nothing like it. I think everybody needs to learn to drive on a dirt road
because you learn how to drift, and
learn how to drift,
and that's what we're talking about in ICE. Is that sometimes you get into that situation, and if it doesn't come natural to you, you're going to end up.
You can't learn it by watching, you know, the guys on the Fast and Furious movies. Tokyo Drift?
They started with the Rockford Files. You mean Rockford used to back up real fast and spin the car around and take off the same direction he was going?
With a 1,000-horsepower engine?
It was probably had some extra under the hood. I tried that when I was a kid on a dirt road a lot. Back up like 40 miles an hour and try to spin the car around and take off.
It didn't work too good?
No, it didn't work good with 50 horsepower, 60 horsepower.
Well, I'll tell you what else didn't work. Using your safety brake, emergency brake.
It's all right. If
you can pull it up, you're fine. But if it's like the cars used to be, where you got to punch your pedal in, doesn't work so well.
That's the reason Volkswagens had it in the middle with a button, because you didn't have brakes half the time. Yeah. So
you had to have a backup system
so you could use the emergency brake and push the button in.
And of course, it didn't have any heat, so you had to build a fire over in the passenger side.
They didn't have heat in bugs?
No. Oh, they really? Had air ducts from the engine, so the heat –
The engine's in the back, right? Is
in the back. So all the levers and cables and doors that were all cable operated and everything. So if you had a Volkswagen that was over, you know, 3 or 4 years old, you had no defroster, no heat. You just took your shirt off and used it when you were driving down the road.
That's crazy.
Wipe the windshield down.
Unless
it was the winter, then you didn't want to do that because you'd be showing your nipples and get arrested until now, where they've changed it.
So I've never
unless you decide that you're a man for the day, then you can do that. Right?
So then, but I've never been as hot as my life as in a Volkswagen Beetle. I don't think I've ever been as cold in my life as a Volkswagen Beetle. So
yeah, I think
people say when they don't make them like they used to, you know,
they need to drive
a 63 Volkswagen Beetle.
It's
for
true
a little
they
while.
Don't make them like they used to, and in a lot of cases they're a whole lot better, except for diesel trucks. Diesel trucks 25 years ago, some of them were, I think, better than what they have now.
Yeah, they were more dependable for sure.
All right. So have you ever watched the movie Starship Troopers? Never seen it, have you, Paul?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't never guess seen so. It.
Aaron, you ever watched the movie Starship Troopers?
Cannot say that I have.
Okay. That's a movie.
Do you have Chevy Chase in it?
No. It's a movie. It's a Heinlein book. Science fiction book they made into a movie, and it wasn't too bad. It wasn't the best, but it's not too bad. And it's where a race of aliens attack the Earth, and we go to war with them. But the part I wanted to talk about is at the beginning of the movie. It's all these young men and women going off to... have been conscripted to have to fight the bugs, because the aliens look like insect life,
almost like Ender's Game. Huh?
So they go out to fight them. Well, when they're in training, they all go and shower together. The men and the women are showering together, and. I'll never forget. I went to see it. I took my wife. I didn't know that was going to be in it. It's mentioned in the Heinlein book, but I didn't think they'd make it into that type of a scene. But they did.
Graphic,
and she says, "You know, I can't believe that. That's never going to happen." And I looked at her and I said,
never say never. Mm-hmm. Now we're closer to it than we've ever been because of why. What's changed the whole discussion? Transgenderism.
Well, and I think that's going to drive off some of the best men out there, that because they don't want to be showered with other men that may be ogling them, and that's just, I think it's a gross factor that it's hard to overcome.
But what of the women who call themselves men and want to, you know, shower with the men.
I tell you what, this gives school choice a whole new meaning.
Some of it.
I mean, this is what we have to look forward to. I mean,
well, it's the argument we're having in our schools right now.
I mean, Washington County, you know, is kind of like the Austin of Arkansas. Mm. And that battle is going on in Washington County.
That's not in a good way.
Yeah, that's right. But
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas, yeah. Arkansas. Yeah, I'm not talking about the people in Austin, Arkansas. But Austin, Texas is the liberal side of Texas, and it's growing. But but this gives school choice a whole new meaning. This gives the state budget a whole new meaning. Arkansas financially has to be in a position that when the federal government says your money is not coming for your school system, your money is not coming to support your farmers, your money is not coming, period, unless you let transgenders shower together and in their sports or whatever.
And the state government needs to tell them, good, we don't want it. And by the way, we're going to stop sending your the highway funding.
We need to be Dave's favorite word. We need to be revenue neutral.
Boy, I love
if there
that.
Is, if there is well, no such thing, but
there
if
is no we, such there's no such animal.
No, there's no such animal. But we need to either keep it or send it. The budget needs to be the same way.
And I think that's the thing is that the state of Arkansas needs to be ready to tell the federal government, look, you're not getting your gas tax money. I think that's one of the things that the state of Arkansas can do. I think it was the state of Indiana did that. Was it Indiana or was it?
Yeah, it was in the '90s.
Illinois.
I was there when it happened.
And so it's a piece of leverage that the states can use against the federal government to say, look, back off.
Yeah, what happened is during Clinton's time in office, he had all those unfunded mandates that he imposed upon the states. And in Indiana, they got tired of it. Garton and some of the other. Garton was a state senator and was a great conservative. And he got fed up with it. And so he led the charge, and the rest of the senators and then House members got behind it. And what they did is they said, okay, we've got to be able to do all these. We've got to come up with the money. Here's what we're going to do. We're not sending you the gas tax from the pumps to you. We're going to keep it so that we can fund these unfunded mandates. And they held it for about 2 months, I think it was, and the federal government gave in.
Well, my dad told me at a very early teenage age that you do not have freedom until you have financial freedom. A debtor is a slave to the person that he owes the money to.
That really makes a person compromised when they're in debt to the government, when they've set up their lives, or they've fallen into a condition where they're dependent on the government to take care of them.
You are a slave.
Yeah, it makes you so compromised that it's hard for you to be principled in that area to say that, you know what, it's wrong for the government to take from R.D. Hopper and give to Dave Elswick, because it's R.D. Hopper's money. It's R.D. Hopper's resources. And as much as Dave might be a deserving recipient of some charity, it's not appropriate for the government to take it from R.D. Now the thing is, though, that I might say, you know what, Dave is a sympathetic figure. He needs some help. I might encourage R.D. to help Dave out. But when I come up and take it from him, then it's no longer charity. It's just an organized crime.
Yeah, people have been paying the federal government to take care of their personal responsibility in the state government. We have a personal responsibility, you know, to take care of our neighbor, and we could go into that. But everybody that's a Christian knows who their neighbor is. And it's hard to do whenever the government's getting 50% of every dollar that you make.
Right, and the thing is that
it does not relieve our obligation to do so.
It doesn't, but the thing is, though, our responsibility to help others also includes the responsibility to stop helping them. When if someone won't work, I think we have a command to stop helping them.
Well, see, that's what you come up to. Then you have strings attached. But anyway, hey, Arkansas can cut taxes and everything else. I'm all for the agenda. Everybody in the state is so excited to have Sarah Sanders as governor. But you know, we're going to have to cut our spending.
Except for Max Brantley.
Is that right?
We're going to have so one of the things I've heard about, she's put a hiring freeze on, which is kind of exciting. Yeah. So I actually ran into somebody with the attorneys that provide legal counsel for people who are broke. What do they call that?
I don't know. It's probably through DHS.
In the courts when you go and get your... What do they call those guys? The free attorneys that people get. What do they call that?
Free attorneys.
I didn't know there was going to be a test today.
Well, while you're thinking about it, we're going to take a break. Let's get a break in. Final break for this hour here on the Dave Elswick Show. Hour, got a whole another hour coming your way, and going to keep these guys on until 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock, I'll take over. And I'm hoping that we'll have a special guest with us to talk about what's going to happen with the Travelers and what's going on with them and their organizations over in North Little Rock. But I haven't gotten an answer back on that yet. They may not be up yet to see my text that I sent them last night from the text that they sent me last night. So anyway, let's go back. You were talking about public defenders, Paul.
Public defenders. Yeah, I finally figured out the word. And so I was talking to the guy that works for the public defender's office there at the Capitol the other day, and he was saying this hiring freeze that the new governor put in place was actually affecting their office. And I think he told me they needed to hire about 20 of them. And from what I understand about the public defender's office is that they're vastly understaffed anyway. And so these guys that are providing counsel for what they call indigent people, they don't have enough time to give these guys adequate counsel anyway. And so when they're understaffed, then it further stretches them thin. And I've got a little bit of some mixed thoughts on that, because one, do we really need to be providing state-funded attorneys for anybody? And if we're going to provide them for anybody, maybe we should provide them for everybody. But right now, they're just provided for people who are quote-unquote indigent.
Are these people not, you know, being prosecuted, or are they not have charges against them? Or
no, they do have charges against them.
And so there's a provision.
Okay. I think it's Fifth Amendment, or
so
this
is not a call in line for anybody.
No, it's not. You've got to have charges filed against you, and so they're being prosecuted. And if you're poor, you're entitled to a free attorney. If you're not poor, then you have to spend yourself into poverty by hiring an attorney. And so it's kind of a weird set of principles. I think principles is the wrong word, because we're talking about government here. And so the thing is that the state funds attorneys for poor people when they get prosecuted.
Each program has to have a limited budget. I mean, a lot of the state agencies, you can grow it to whatever size you want to grow it to. If you wanted to have 1,000 of them, you could probably keep 1,000 of them busy.
You probably could.
If you wanted to have 500 of them, you keep 500 of them busy. The bottom line is you have to work within your budget, within your means, and that's what this state has not been doing.
Right, and it's a kind of a messy issue, because when the judicial branch has essentially set the courts up so they're, I think they're very difficult to navigate for the common man. And so then on some level, you almost need an attorney to navigate the system.
Well, if you go into court without an attorney, you got a fool for a client.
They'll give you one.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if you decide to
represent yourself,
just like they say, you get a fool for a client.
For an attorney. And so that's part of the issue, is that if the courts are really that hard to navigate, and I think they are in some cases, then maybe the average person should be entitled to some type of counsel or direction. And so if that's the case, then maybe we need a whole lot more public defenders available.
I don't care what it is. It's got to be limited. And the bottom line, I think if we had truth in sentencing And then we didn't have all these parolees running around. You know, you wouldn't believe just try to hire somebody that's not on that
on parole.
That's not on parole. All these people have people they're talking to on a daily and weekly basis.
Right. And so
if somebody does a 2-year crime, have them do 2 years. It would save the state millions of dollars if people just did the time they were sentenced for and then got out.
Okay, so we need to talk to Tim Griffin about this because I know that this is something that he's going to be pushing. Is parole and things of that nature.
And so that one of the problems with that is that you've got way more criminals than you have bed space for, I think. And that's
well, they haven't built any bed space well, in years. There's a percentage of people that do need to be behind bars.
Well, actually, I think a lot of those people that can't be trusted in society probably just need to go to the graveyard instead. And that's part of the problem is that we're convicting all these people of things in some cases that probably never should have been illegal, or in some cases these people don't need prison, they need the graveyard. And so we're burdening taxpayers with the prison, and then we're having prison overcrowding issues, and so then we turn them loose. We got dangerous people running around.
Exactly. And waiting, thus waiting you to, have the problem.
Waiting to rape you or cut your throat.
That's where the problem comes from.
It is a bad problem because we've got people that can't be trusted, and yet we turn them loose.
You have to set a budget and say that the state has this much money to spend. You have to have a budget for people that need to be in jail. And there's a percentage of any population that can't be trusted to be free as far as murderers,
sure,
child molesters. But there's certain people that need to be behind bars. And as the state population grows, the percentage of jail beds has to grow, or the number of jail beds to match the percentage. And it has not been politically correct to build prisons in the past 20 years, so the state has not funded more prison beds for the last 20 years because it doesn't look good politically.
When was the last prison built in Arkansas? Either of you know this? Because
it was
before I got here, and I got here 23 years ago.
23 years ago? So you can't grow a state for 23 years and not grow the prison beds.
Well, they've been building some jails around. They built a jail there.
They're all
the
county jails.
Right,
but they're on county
but
jails.
Those are used for
our county jails are full of state prisoners.
Right, so that's
and
part of the capacity.
We're funding our county budgets by a lot of times by charging the state, and man, they don't pay pennies, and sometimes they don't even send their payments out on time.
All right, got to get a break in. Let's take our final break at top of the hour, and we'll come back. We got 1 hour left with the power panel. R.D. Hopper, Paul Calvert here on the Dave Elswick Show, back after the news. And before I go to church, watch that so I can go to church and ask for forgiveness for what I've said at the screen of the TV as I watch the talking heads on the TVs. I can tell you that one of the big topics that were discussed was the debt ceiling. And right now, I remember we used to sit on this show about 6 years ago, and we were upset because we were at $6 trillion in debt. You want to take a guess? Want to take a guess at what we're at now? 31 trillion dollars.
From 6 to 31 in 6 years?
About that, yeah, because all of the money that was spent during COVID was enormous. I'm trying to think. It was like $8 trillion overall.
From 6 to 31. Boy, I tell you what, they say don't waste a good, you know, a good
don't let
it.
That's what Ron Emanuel said.
Don't let a good, what was it, disaster go to waste?
Yeah.
No, it's,
I was thinking.
It's basically, that's what it
yeah,
meant.
Yeah, it's a
don't let it go
crisis.
To waste.
Don't let,
a
good, don't let a good crisis
that
go
to waste.
Because think about that for a moment. Right now, they said that if the Fed raises interest rates much higher, the payment on the national debt will be more than what we spend on national defense every year.
Well, so we just let me see if I can do the math here. Let's see if my calculator has enough spaces. So 31 trillion.
I mean, is there an end to it?
That's
only if they stop spending. You think the Democrats are going to stop spending? So you think the Republicans are going to stop spending?
You know, we've been preaching to the choir about, you know, financial responsibility. You know, a lot of the legislators in Arkansas have been very good on social issues, and I praise them on abortion. They've been, you know, except for one maybe, they've put that as their top priority. And when it comes to fiscal, I mean, what happens when the federal government doesn't have the money to spend or they go bankrupt? Is that a good time to be self-sustainable?
Not a good time to be an American.
Arkansan?
Yeah.
How about an Arkansan? I mean, what position is Arkansas in if the federal checks bounce?
Okay,
They don't bounce
because there's nothing to back them up anyway. And so it's yeah, where are we at? I think what the equivalent of bouncing is that the dollar becomes worthless. That's what would have to happen, and it could. So I just did the math on it. So if we're at 7% interest, which is kind of getting close to where we're going to be, I think, if the Feds keep raising, and it could go higher, 7% of $31 trillion is over $2 trillion a year.
Yes. Yeah, so all the money that you're bringing in, which is about, we bring in about $3.5 trillion a year in taxes and things of that nature. Think about that. $2 trillion of it.
Over half of it.
Just goes for paying debt.
Yeah, and I don't know
that's
what.
That's not sustainable for a household. That's not sustainable for a government.
And you start thinking on a personal level, you know, what do you want to leave your kids when you're gone? And you know,
well, the way you're looking right now, we're going to leave them nothing.
Depends on
debt.
If you like them or not.
That's exactly right. But look at the debt. We're spending our great grandkids' money at this point and saying, hey, you know what? They can fend for themselves.
Well, some people refer to it as generational theft.
That's exactly right.
You gain debt, and guess who's going to pay for it? Not me.
Now, McCarthy, who is not my favorite person, but still he's right on this, he said, we have two main enemies in the United States, the Chinese and the national debt.
Boy, those two things have not changed.
Nope, have not.
You know, it's funny how things...
Although at one time it was Russia and the national debt, now it's the Chinese and the national debt.
The thing is, though, the national debt is us.
Well,
the national debt is us. We don't have the fortitude to say we've got to back off. We've got to back off from these programs. We've got to back off from all these things that we like to do, because most of the money spent by the federal government is not necessary stuff. It's stuff that is fluff. It's stuff that is not even the role of the federal government at all to begin with, and we're not willing to give it up. We want our stuff. We want the pork that comes back with our congressmen and senators.
What's the famous term? The road to hell is paved
with good intentions.
My question is, would Arkansas or the people in Arkansas ever say no to a federal dollar for any reason?
We haven't seen
would
that
they
happen.
Ever say
so I think
no
the last
to a
number,
federal
the
dollar
last number I
reason.
Saw, I think the state of Arkansas, for every dollar that we send out in taxes, was getting like $1.39 or $1.40 back. And so it may be higher than that now. And so how do you tell people, you know what, we're gonna cut your budget by what does that come out to, about 25 or 30%?
Yeah, just watch Medicaid. If you are Medicaid, just in the Arkansas Healthcare Exchange, I mean, it's got to grow out of proportion. I know it's going to. The hospitals are screaming already this year that they're not getting enough money.
Well, we've got a shortage of healthcare professionals. And so what happened, I think, is all this free government healthcare came up. And so guess what? When it's free, guess what? You get to use it more. And so if you use it more, but you don't actually increase the number of professionals available, nurses, doctors, whoever, then there's a shortage. If there's a shortage, guess what? Market forces go into effect. I think I've heard of some of these traveling nurses are able to make as much as a couple hundred bucks an hour sometimes. Because if you've got a hospital that has a government mandate, you have to have at least so many RNs on staff for a certain number of patients in the building, and you got to have them.
And so
at some point you have a bidding war for warm bodies that have the license.
There is no conservative government program. If it is a government program, it is not conservative.
At some
you
point,
cannot
we're arguing,
make Obamacare conservative.
And, that's
you
kind of
cannot make a tire bill conservative.
That's part of the issue is that we were fighting over with the Obamacare here in Arkansas. How do we do socialism conservatively? And that's what the fight was. It was, we're going to make this conservative socialism. The wording wasn't used that way.
That's what they said, and I always asked them, what's the name of the bill? And they'd say, Obamacare. And I said, he'll have the last word. He doesn't care what you think.
It's called AR Home now, if you're wondering.
That's true.
That Arkansas Healthcare Exchange. It was
renaming it.
It went from Obamacare to
the Affordable Health Care.
Affordable Health Care.
But Obama was okay with Obamacare.
The Arkansas Healthcare Exchange to the private option.
And so you keep renaming it.
Now we call it AR Home. Right. But
and so they focus group these different terms to try to make it sound more palatable, just like the term social distancing instead of isolation. I mean, you need to isolate yourself from your neighbors. No, we won't use that term because that sounds a little bit hostile. We're going to use the term social distancing. And so I think they may very well be focus grouping these terminologies, these terms, and so to make them more palatable so that people will accept them more readily, as opposed to let's just talk about what it is.
I mean, if we're going to abolish the Arkansas state income tax, which is I'm all for.
They're working at it.
They're working on it. You do have to cut some programs and cut the budget.
Yes,
there's got to be cuts.
We've seen a lot of programs, not just around the edges. We're not going to just
cut out a little fat.
No, we're not going to cut out a little fat. We're not going to say, we can't. We're going to have to get the cheaper guy that brings flowers to the office every morning. No, that's not how you do it. You're going to have to fire some people. You're going to have to cut out some programs.
We're only going to do a 3% raise this year instead of a 5% raise.
Yeah.
That is not going
to. What may be that you need to look at your office, if your office is even worth having, you may need to look at your office and say, there's 10 people in this office here. Four of them are actually counterproductive. They don't do any work to even justify their existence. In fact, they're a drain on the office. We're going to fire all of them today, and then we're going to give the remaining people some resources that are needed.
Well, I believe the Medicaid expansion, which came from BB's era, from Obamacare, the Medicaid expansion that went from 100% poverty level, then you got the hospitals got to write off your health care on the taxes at 100% poverty level. Then we went to 138% poverty level, got private insurance bought for them from insurance companies around Arkansas.
So now the insurance companies
were guaranteed 25% profits in their contracts.
That was called the corridor. That was what that was named.
So I'm just saying, guys, this is low-hanging fruit. If you want to cut the Arkansas state sales tax or eliminate it, Arkansas Medicaid health care expansion and buying private insurance for people with public money is low-hanging fruit.
People will go
back to work if they don't have free health care.
So I was talking to a lobbyist.
But do they have the gonads to do that, because that's going to upset a lot of voters.
That is part of the problem, is that
once you give something, don't expect to take it back.
Right. So I was talking to a lobbyist who all of us in this room know. He's kind of a friend, but he's become a lobbyist. And he was telling me about a program that he's working with a company with, where they actually take, I think it's Medicaid patients of a certain demographic. I don't know if they're it's a certain demographic group, not by race, but and instead of just letting them handle like private insurance through the, like what RD was talking about, they take them and they get I think it's $2,500 a month, and then they take care of the person's needs. They help to regulate, are you going to go to the ER? Are you going to go to a family doc, which is a lot cheaper than going to the ER? And so they help them to regulate that and cut costs and make things more efficient. And it seems like that sounds like maybe a step in the right direction compared to, I think, the standard Medicaid payout was going to be $3,500 a month. And so they can do it for $2,500 a month and keep things going, which sounds like maybe a step in the right direction. It's not insurance. It's almost like a contract for coverage.
I'm for providing care for people, but there is no reason that they can't go to the hospital and the hospital take care of them and write it off on their taxes dollar for dollar. That's what Obamacare did. It eliminated that, so everybody had to do something else. And if a state was going to do its own thing, then they had to do it without federal money.
Well, I think part of that problem was you had people that were – it was a misallocation of resources, because you have people that probably need to go to a primary care physician instead of going to the ER because they've got a runny nose or a sore throat or a high
ERs
fever.
Are just crazy right now.
And that's part of the problem. I think that in the past there would be an abused and misused by people without having insurance. And the hospitals probably didn't mind it a whole lot because they could write the thing. They could write it off as a full tax credit.
Let me just tell you what. Here's how I see this working out. It won't. The government has made an unmitigated mess of it all.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we'll take a break.
Yeah, there's the voice of reason.
We're dreaming again.
Now take a break. I let you guys talk, but that's fine. All right, don't forget about Hillcrest Designer Jewelry located at 3000 Cavanaugh. Last night I was at my life group, and everybody was all excited about. I was showing off my piece of jewelry that I had designed for myself and my wife to encapsulate our visions and our beliefs in our faith. And it's the Star of David with a cross in the middle. And then on the cross beam of the cross, it's got two small rubies. And at the bottom of the vertical beam, it has another ruby to signify the crucifixion. And I think that pretty much sums up what she and I believe in. So everybody's looking at, wow, that's really cool. Where'd you have that done? I said, Eric Coleman. And a couple of people said, that's that guy that owns what? Hillcrest Designer Jewelry, right? And I said, yeah. And they said, oh, I've got to go see him. I've got to talk to him. But I said, don't be everybody going by that now. I designed this for my wife and I, for just us. Now, I don't want everybody wearing it. You know, everybody laughed. I was not making fun of it. I don't want royalties. I just want Linda and I to have it. That's what I want. Anyway, that was the bottom line. Eric Coleman can do that for you. He can. I had another one that was really cool, of the Star of David, and it had the ichthus in it. All right, the fish, which of course we drew that picture back in Rome. Inside they put some Roman letters, and it means Jesus Christ, Son of God. And, that would be an acceptable one as well. Whichever way you want to go see Eric Coleman about it at Hillcrest Designer Jewelry. He's open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6, 3000 Cavanaugh, right here in Little Rock. Okay, we're back. I thought we had traffic. We don't. All right, so we're back with you already here on the Dave Ellswick Show. Don't forget that Sunday was the Lunar New Year. According to the Chinese, so this is the year of the rabbit. That's exactly
heard
right.
My wife
the
said
rabbit.
That.
That's interesting.
You know, I don't know if it's Roger Rabbit or if it's just some other rabbit, but it's Bugs Bunny. I have no idea.
I prefer the woodpecker, Woody the woodpecker.
Woody woodpecker. Yeah, we can do that. But as far as rabbits go, I like Roger better than
Bugs.
Bugs. Yeah. I liked Roger Rabbit. He was cool.
Briar Rabbit.
Yeah, watch it.
I'm going way back.
You get yourself in trouble now. All right. Throw you in the briar patch. All right. Adam Klotz, who is a meteorologist for Fox News, had something happen to him over the weekend. It was terrible. He was on his way home after watching the Giants-Eagles NFL playoff game at a Manhattan bar. And he noticed a group of teens on the train harassing an older gentleman, and he saw that they had set his hair on fire with a joint.
Uh-oh. They literally set his hair on fire.
Yes, yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. They were doing Michael Jackson with him. Quote, I was like, whoa, you can't do that. He said that. That's not cool, and that's all it took. And then I was the focus of all their attention. He said between the age of 5 and 17, there was about 8 of them, and they beat him down. It took some time because they were starting in the car that he was riding in with the old man, and by the time they were finished, they were two cars away. And then they got off of train, and they got off of the train. He didn't know this, and they came back, and he was on the ground, and they got around him and started to pummel and put kicks and all kinds of stuff.
Where was everybody else? Were they the only people on the train?
Nobody helped.
Oh, wow. Man, what world do we live in today?
Well, it tells you.
And so they banned people from carrying guns.
Yeah, I was I was listening to this show this morning as it's coming in on Fox News. They were interviewing him, and he's part of the problem. I'm sorry, he's part of the problem. He kept asking. They kept asking, "Well, what are you going to do?" He says, "You can." They took three of the kids into custody, and then they just let them go. He said, "I'm sure that they gave them a summons that they're going to have to show up at court, right?" And you know, you tell a kid to show up for court, they're not going to show up for court. But anyway, he said that they asked, "Well, you can go to this next division of the New York Police Department because this isn't a felony. This was still
a misdemeanor.
A misdemeanor." So he could go, and then they would go and get the kids. And he says, "Oh, I don't know if I want them to go get the kids." And I'm going, "What's wrong with you? Do something, or they're going to do it again." And when they ask him what, you know, if the kids were listening, what do you want? "Don't let what you did to me define your life." And I'm going, "Oh, my God, what is wrong with people?"
If you go back to 2015, it reminds me of the Americans on a train in France. 2015, you can look the story up.
They made it into a movie, by the way.
Oh, did they make it into a movie?
Yes.
Somebody had an AK-47 on a train in France, and three Americans without guns overpowered the guy with the AK-47.
Well, I think that's kind of the difference of kind of your middle American people. It's like, if we saw somebody getting beat up in the city or on a bus or something like that we work, we'd stop and help him.
He needs to move to Arkansas.
Well, and that's just part of it.
I guarantee you it's the wrong culture.
I had a cousin who lived up in the Chicago area, and they would do this car show every year, and the crime was so insanely bad that they had people that would steal parts off of their cars during this car show, and they wouldn't even stop them. They wouldn't even stop them. I think he was saying it was so bad, they'd assign a person to maybe almost every car,
Okay. Keep your thought. I'll let you finish it when we come back here on the Dave Elswick Show. All right. The New York police said of this attack on this man on the train, quote, "Juvenile reports were prepared and their parents were called to pick them up," a rep for the New York Police Department told the New York Post. All right. So later on in the interview, Klotz said this, quote, "What I want is some sort of change. I don't want this to happen to somebody else, and I don't think necessarily just these kids getting in trouble. Like, where's the structural things? Like, let's put some cops down there. I want the mayor to do something more long-term so that this won't happen to somebody else more than me just getting some sort of revenge in the short term."
If there's no consequences.
Good luck, dude. I'm sorry. Good luck.
Well, that's part of the thing.
I think that he's part of the problem.
So the thing is that we don't need cops everywhere. I mean, that's going to be like a prison state. We don't need that. We need good people to stand up and put a stop to this mess. I mean, these kids weren't using AK-47s to murder people. They were just basically putting a whooping on somebody. And it doesn't take... You shouldn't have to have police everywhere to stop that sort of thing. Good people should be willing to address this problem. In Arkansas, kids, it would happen. Good people would step in, I think.
Yeah, these kids will move on to bigger crimes and worse crimes if there's not consequences for their action. These kids will move up against a force at some time, and they will get in trouble. It's better for these kids to get trouble at whatever it said they were 8 to 17 or whatever. it's better for them to get some trouble right now and get some correction instead of letting them to go without consequences. They're going to keep moving on from this, and it'll be worse next time and worse next time.
You know, I might be okay with saying, you know what, I won't press charges if they get a good solid whipping from their daddy.
Yeah.
I might be good with that. If they got a daddy. And that's part of the problem as well, as some of them
so many broken homes anymore that father's not even there.
Hey, there's work programs. There's always been programs. I mean, send them to boot camp for 2 weeks. I mean,
there
has to be some kind of consequence. Wash cars. Go down to the local food pantry and make them serve food to the homeless for a month or something.
Put them in Times Square in stocks and have plenty of rotten fruit to throw at them.
And that might be a fair solution. I'm okay with kind of being creative with some of this, because our justice system, put them in jail, is probably going to make them worse in many respects. But
doesn't need to start there.
Getting creative with correcting that bad behavior might be the way to go. And it may very well be that the victim in this case could kind of come up with something, and if they're agreeable, hey. But just letting them walk away with nothing, I think, is bad for the kids, if nothing else.
All right, so in the 60s, the movie The Graduate has a great scene where Dustin Hoffman is talking to a man, and the guy's talking about what he should do with his life, and he says, I got one word for you, plastics. Plastics, that's the future now, plastics. Let me just bring Aaron into this. Aaron, grab your microphone. When you were in high school, did they tell you that the IT was the future as far as getting jobs?
I wouldn't say that. Not really.
What were they telling you?
I mean, I went to a small town high school, so we didn't really have, when it came to technology, in that department, it wasn't really a big topic.
But, okay. So when was that the big topic? They kept saying, you need to know how to code, you need to know how to do stuff in IT. That's where all the jobs were going to be.
Probably around 10 years ago or so maybe.
Okay, so.
I don't know, 10 or 12.
Around the turn of the century or a little bit before?
Well, or maybe even a little bit after. I'm trying to think. When did we?
I will say, now my brother, he graduated from the same high school 4 years after I did. And the high school actually had those coding classes that you guys are talking about. They didn't have them at that time when I was in high school, and that really, I mean, when my brother was taking those classes, you know, he would come home, you know, ask mom about it, and she didn't have an idea how to do all that stuff, and, you know, he'd come and ask me, and I'd be the same way. But I would say the last 3 to 4 years in high school, maybe. Now, again, I went to a small rural high school in rural Arkansas, so that school could have been behind, and there could be a lot more schools.
But like in the movie The Graduate, you'd hear plastics. I think during the beginning of the 2000s, you heard, you know, you need to be in
more computer savvy.
In computers, right? Well, Spotify announced today that it's planning to cut 6% of its global workforce in order to rein in costs amid the challenging economic environment. CEO Daniel Ek said in a letter that affected employees are going to be notified through one-on-one conversations as soon as Monday morning. Like many other leaders, I hope to sustain the strong tailwinds from the pandemic and believe that our broad global business and lower risk to the impact of a slowdown in ads would insulate us. In hindsight, I was too ambitious in investing ahead of our revenue growth. Now, they're just one. I mean, Amazon cut 10 or 12,000 workers here just the last couple of weeks. Facebook is cutting workers. Twitter, of course, has cut workers, and it continues to go on.
You think IT is?
Well, IT was good when you had the pandemic because people were going out and getting streaming services, and people were going out and buying everything off of the internet. Now it's not so much that way anymore, and the winds have changed.
It's business across the board. I mean, You know, my small family business, you know, 15 employees, we have like four huge servers and probably, you know, 12 or 13 computers with big servers. And but whenever you start cutting IT, you know, that's everybody across the board. I mean, they should be, I would think, the last people to cut, because you can't operate without computers. Right, so, in any business.
That tells you where the economy is at, doesn't it?
Sure
it?
Does. I wonder if it some sure of that does. Is actually coming from software being developed. It's becoming so advanced that it's becoming more and more user-friendly, and you don't need some of these IT guys. Just like it used to, there was a demand for hiring someone to build a website, and they could make pretty good money doing that. And then some of these programs came along to where it made it pretty easy for anybody to build a website, I think.
Well, they're just so safe with me.
But it put some of these guys out of business. I've got a friend who was building websites, and now he's installing windshields. And so, I mean, and he's making probably quite a bit less money than he was building websites for people. But it's an honorable living, but it was a lifestyle change for him, I think.
You don't have to readjust. I tell you
right,
what.
Right, and that's okay.
Heat and air and plumbing, and there's a lot of things right
I, now. I tell you what, the heat and air business, I think there's a pretty serious shortage of heat and air techs because they're able to – I think some of these guys are probably making close to $1,000 an hour sometimes. Or maybe more, because there's just not enough people to compete.
$1,000 an hour?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I hadn't heard that. But,
well, I mean, so just doing the math, I know a little bit about, well, I'm a landlord. I know a decent amount about a lot of different things about housing. So you've got somebody that charges $6,000-$7,000 to update your heating and air system. And so I can look at that, and so see, I can order that stuff for $3,000, and I also know about what it takes to replace them. And so, like, I can look at that and say, no, that'll take that guy probably no more than 3 hours to do this this upgrade. And so, the equipment costs $3,000, and he charges $7,000 for it, and it takes him maybe 2 or 3 hours to do it.
Hey,
that's $1,000 an hour.
If you
plus.
Get a heat pump changed and exchangers changed, I tell you what, $7,000 would be cheap right now.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at, is that may be the lower end of a 3.5 or 4 ton system. And I tell you what, it's they're probably making $1,000 or $1,200 an hour to do these changeouts.
Inflation is tough. It's all the cost of socialism, people. The reason everything's so high because all this free stuff is not free.
That and
all
then government gets in the way. And so when there's a government caused shortage of techs, because I think it takes a couple of years to get this license, which it doesn't take nearly that long to learn it and learn it good, but lo and behold, they've got these licensing boards that prevent you from competing and bringing the prices down for consumers.
Our 120, I'm just guessing. I'd say we've got 120. You can look at licensing boards in Arkansas, and it's real close to a union. Mm-hmm. It's real close if you look how they operate.
But
wouldn't
worse,
you agree?
Because it's worse than a union, because at least you can go out and hire non-union workers if you want to hire a contractor. But in this, you can't hire an unlicensed practitioner who's a plumber or electrician or a heat and air guy. You can't do it.
All right. Got to get a break in. Let me remind everybody about ICU protection. I'm going to be talking to Billy Mack at lunch today. We're going to have lunch about 11:30 today. But when I come back, I'll guarantee the final few minutes of the Dave Elswick Show today will light you on fire. We will talk about it when we return here in just a moment. Don't forget about ICU protection. You want cameras. You want the door and window sensors. You need everything you need so that you have a secure home. Get it with ICU protection, just like I did. This is the company that I use. Billy Mack owns ICU. They are the folks that take care of Nuke 1, I do believe that if they can take care of Nuke 1, they can take care of my house, they can take care of your small business. The thing that I really like about ICU, you get all this equipment put on your house when you talk about what you need to protect your house. and there's no charge. It's given to you right at the beginning. I'll tell you, you do that with ADT and some others, and they're going to hit you for $400 to $600 that you're going to have to write a check for. So what you need to do is talk to ICU, talk to Billy Mack, have him come out, take care of your home or take care of your business. All you'll do is pay for the service. Call him today. Talk to him today. 501-205-1333, 501-205-1333. Do what I've done, saving myself some money. ICU protection. All right, let's finish it up for the time with our power panel, Artie Hopper here. And, of course, also I've got Paul Calvert here. This last story, I know you're going to think that I'm making it up. I swear to you, it's true. Aaron, I'm holding my hands up like a Boy Scout. Am I not? Okay.
Yes, you are.
I promise to tell the truth. All right? I'm telling you the truth. Larry Elder, who is a very conservative TV and radio host, took aim at a new proposal by San Francisco's Reparations Committee to pay each black longtime resident $5 million, while warning that the movement in support of reparations is growing as young people are being indoctrinated into its supporting narrative. Elder told Fox News, young woke people are being indoctrinated into believing that systemic racism, structural racism, historical racism is why black people are underachieving. On top of that, Charlie Kirk, who you'll hear right after my show, said they want a guaranteed minimum income for every black in San Francisco of $97,000 a year. They want those payments to last for the next 250 years. And now, this is not some sort of abstract college essay. No, this is an actual
proposal.
Policy recommendation done by the San Francisco government.
Wow. It does say longtime resident, but it'd be interesting to see what that means.
Sirs.
But that's... That's if they want to destroy the black population in San Francisco, that would help do it.
Want to destroy San Francisco in general,
sure.
That would do it.
No, I think you're right. If it's widespread and if it's easy for people to obtain, it sounds like there's a little bit of limitations as longtime residents, but still, that's if you want to turn people into serious problem individuals, do that. I mean, look at the Indian population on some of these reservations, and they're just destroyed people.
Well, they're not getting any $97,000.
No, they're not getting that kind of money either. But just imagine what happens, RD, when you've got people that have time on their hands.
It's not good. I mean, when it comes down to personal responsibility,
personal responsibility to take care of themselves.
That's exactly right. I mean, people have to have personal responsibility, and that's what growing government
does.
You get
in trouble.
Growing government takes people's personal responsibility, and they come enslaved to the system instead of having the freedom to live their lives. And it can be addictive, but you know.
Well, I think it's extremely addictive. I think this. It's terrible for people to not have employment to take up their time themselves productive. No, you'd be far better off to beat them every day than to give them that kind of money. And I'm not suggesting you do that, but I'm just saying it's such a terrible idea. I think it would be very harmful.
He's changing his positions. He used to think beating people every day was
a
good idea.
No, that's
he's kind of lightening
just the
him
bad
up.
People.
But he didn't say beating. He said caning.
Okay,
right.
Okay.
So what's interesting is that you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago, black people were prospering a lot better than they are today in many respects. From a business standpoint, there was a lot of black-owned businesses that were successful. And now the Democrats have come in and tried to rescue these people, And guess what? They're not as successful anymore.
Hey, I've always wanted to be independent. They're failing now. I mean, I've been independent-minded. Americans wanted to get away from the rule of England. All they're doing by creating this socialist system that they're putting in is they're enslaving themselves to tyranny.
And I think it
all over again. Thomas Jefferson said, "You know, any government that can give you everything you want
and take it what you
can take it. Everything
and
so you have."
I think it was George Washington Carver, which was he was a black guy, really.
He wasn't really black.
No, he was black. What I was saying, I think he was. I think it was.
He was a genius.
A genius. I think he was a really sharp guy. And he may have, maybe if he had ever been elected president,
when you
president,
think about
he
all
might
the things he did with peanuts, you get
and
right.
It's the thing
he
is
was
though,
smart
I,
in other
I
ways
think he
too.
Was I think he was noted for saying that the best thing that we could do for black people is to leave them alone and let them succeed or fail, but to just give them a fake handout is not good. It's harmful. It's destructive. People need to struggle and struggling.
It wasn't George Washington Carver. It was the black gentleman
that didn't run for president.
It was friends with Lincoln.
Frederick Douglass. Oh, maybe it was him.
He had a lot of good quotes.
It just doesn't make any difference, guys.
We're all Americans. What's good for one person is good for everybody.
Right. And this is not
all
good
men
for anybody.
Are
this is
equal.
This is just a
enslaving anybody to the government is not a good thing.
It's a terribly destructive idea.
Responsibility to our Creator, personal responsibility to our family, personal responsibility to our community,
and
to be a
ourselves.
Part of the community,
yeah.
and to yourselves. I don't want anybody dictating, you know, what I do 10 years from now. I want to be the determining factor of what I do 10 years from now. So people cannot be happy waiting for the mailbox for their check to show up having a job and being a part of society. You cannot be happy
but
that
it also
way.
Takes some fortitude to say that if someone offered to pay you $8,000 a month, which is essentially what this is, it would take some fortitude to say, no, I'll work for myself. I'll make my own living. That the problem is that so many people don't have that kind of fortitude.
Who's going to pay the $8,000 a person per month? It's going to be the taxpayer.
Sure.
And how many taxpayers are going to be still living in San Francisco when this goes into effect?
I tell you what, one thing I'm going to say real quick. When people reach retirement age, when they get 64 or 65 or 75, whatever age that is when they retire, don't put it where they can't work to collect all the money where they can pay in. I think it's ridiculous. Somebody works all their lives. Okay, we're going to put them on Medicare or whatever. But when you start getting dividends on all the money you paid in, you should still be able to get up and go to work every day and contribute to society.
Those people still have something to give.
I'm not going to sit around. I'm refusing. I'm going to be 70 in February. I've already signed another contract for here for 2 years.
You know, all of us
but
are
why
wealthier.
Can't you get your money back and work at the same time?
Sure, you should. You should. And the thing is, all of us become wealthier when we're working because when I work in one aspect, one part of the economy, it serves you.
Hey, I want to hire those guys with experience.
Sure.
I want to hire them. I want to hire these people. They say, well, I'd like to come to work for you, but I can only work 10 hours a week and I only make this much money. Why? Because they'll cut my Medicare.
That's dumb.
That's crazy.
Take a break. I'll see you guys next week.
Yes, sir.
All right.
It'll be Monday, 7 o'clock. We'll see you then. Got one more hour to go. We've got a special guest at 10:30, but when I come back, I want to talk about a court case that could be changing things for the better as far as those bathroom cases that are out there that we talk about all the time. Stay tuned for more on the Dave Elswick Show. All right, let's get back to the final hour. Just got word that the state Senate will vote on SB 43 today at around 1 o'clock. That'll send it over to the House, where they'll have to vote on it as well. SB 43, of course, is the drag queen bill that they've termed it. It has more to do than just a drag queen, but that's the bottom line. That's where they're at with it, evidently coming up in front of the full Senate today at about 1. I'm supposed to have Gary Stubblefield on tomorrow here on the Dave Elswick show. So see what he has to say then about the show. So about that bill and how he thinks it do in the House. Of course, we're supposed to have Mary Bentley. She's carrying it in the House, so we'll see what she has to say. And then we'll see what's going on as far as the Drag Queen Association or whatever it is here in the state that showed up at the Capitol last week. You know, like everybody from LGBTQ plus showed up. I don't understand, since it doesn't really affect them at all. And it's a very narrow bill. It's not as specious as those folks are trying to say it is from these different groups. Of course, that's the way it typically always works. Next thing I wanted to talk about was with you was a court case that happened here just last week. Didn't hear much coverage about it. And I wanted to bring it up to you because it was this was decided by the court system, by the district court out in Idaho. I got to find the story now because I walked away from my phone, and if I don't do, you know, don't touch the story, then the story goes away and they move to something else. So let me see if I can find it now. And get it to you. So I'm running through this now. I'm looking for my this story here. Where is it? A lot of stuff out there. Plus, I want to play a piece of audio that we have from the vice president. We played it in the first hour. I need to play it again for you to hear it as well. About what's going on, and I don't see the story now, so that means I got to go back and look for it in another spot, and I'm going to do that now. You gotta love the internet, gotta love all the IT stuff as long as it works, and that's the key, as long as it works. So. That's not it either. Well, I'll find it. I'll have to come back to it here a little bit later about it. So what I'll do is let's play the vice president. We can get that in. I've got that pulled up with Aaron. He can pull it, play it for us. She was in Florida, you know, complaining about DeSantis and getting making it where people couldn't Well, she was trying to say you should have codified Roe v. Wade so that we can have in all 50 states abortion up until birth. And here's what part of her speech was. I'm just going to play this part because she leaves out something really important in this specific piece. Go ahead, Aaron.
America is a promise. It is a promise of freedom and liberty, a promise we made in the Declaration of Independence, that we are each endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness.
All right, that's all you got to hear. What'd she leave out? Just ask you, what did she leave out? She said that we're endowed with the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. So when you're giving a speech for pro-abortion, what part of the rights would you leave out? The very first one, the most important one, and its founders knew was the most important. Because if you don't have a right to life, then you're not going to have a right to liberty or pursuit of happiness. And there's people that I've been reading online saying, oh, she just forgot it. No, she didn't. She didn't forget it. It's very important that she left that out because, you know, she's going to sound like, you know, an idiot. You've been given three rights by an omnipotent being, the
the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to a pursuit of happiness. So does this, you know, I guess we could argue the point that the left says that if you're an unborn child, you have no right to life because maybe they don't consider you a life. It's kind of hard to argue that point since medical science has now said that you're alive. You know, here's a good one for you. Let me ask you a question, Aaron. If when you die, something stops working, what is that that stops working?
Well, your heart, your brain.
Okay, you're right. Your heart. Your heart stops, right? They'll start saying you're dead when your heart stops. So why is it when your heart starts, you're not alive? See, I don't understand people that can't make those simple logical adjustments in the thinking. If when your heart stops, you're going to be dead, then what about when your heart starts? Does that not mean that you're alive? In a lot of states in the union, it doesn't. Because you can have your unborn child can have a fetal heartbeat, and they kill you no matter what. They don't, of course, they don't call it killing. They come up with all kinds of different terminology for killing, but that's exactly what happens. I find it interesting. But I thought that you'd like that, to hear what your vice president is saying out there in Florida. Oh, these people in Florida, they're so, you know, they're extreme, mega extreme. I'll use their words, even. Mega extreme. You know that, you know, look, the Constitution, not the Constitution, but the Declaration of Independence gives you an inalienable right of liberty and pursuit of happiness. Oh, you forgot life, Ms. Vice President. You forgot that really important part about life. All right, let's take a quick break. Come back with you here in just a moment. And we will, I'll try to find that story so I can talk about it, dealing with the whole thing, the whole bathroom thing, going out there, and I think it was the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals that ruled on it. East End Towing wants you to know, no matter what your problem, you probably heard earlier on RD talking about, had some friends that their car was in a wreck, and they hooked them up to tow them somewhere, and they didn't have the money to get it out of the impound lot, so RD was going to help them out and pay for that. And they wouldn't take his credit card because they said they only can take the credit card of the person that's being towed, which I find that kind of bizarre in and of itself. If it's a good credit card, what does it matter whether it's coming from the person whose car is being towed or not? But that's what they said. And that's why it's important to make sure whoever's hooking up your car is somebody is reputable and you know what they're going to do. And that's where East End Towing comes in. They know what to do in all these circumstances. And when they say, hey, we got to tow your car out, you say, I'll call my own tow company, and you call East End Towing. So when they come out, they'll take your car where you want it to be taken. 501-888-8849 is their number. 501-888-8849. Go with the best. Go with the folks that no matter the situation, East End Towing can handle it, and they've got all the answers.
Show 101.1 FM, The Answer.
All right, back with you. And Lance is not here yet, so I don't know if he's going to show up or not. He was in a meeting, said that he was going to try to make it at 10:30. If he does, we'll have a few minutes with him to talk about what's going on. Also, Congressman Westerman will not be with us on Wednesday at 7:35. He is traveling and will be in a plane at that time. And we may run into that from time to time with Congressman Bruce Westerman because, as you know,
He's now chairman of the Natural Resources Committee. That means that he's got a whole lot more responsibility on his plate, but as much as he can, he will be here to join us to talk about what's going on. All right, so the Biden administration, so what are they doing? What does the left always do? Well, here, let me just say, they always do this. Whatever they tell you you're doing, it's because they're the ones that are really doing it. For instance, President Biden's administration has blamed Republicans for a historically bad month of illegal immigration on the U.S.-Mexican border. Despite Democrats controlling the entire federal government and both chambers of Congress up until just a few weeks ago, the administration broke the all-time record for the number of illegal aliens encountered on the U.S.-Mexican border last month. According to Fox News, quote, "Of course the numbers will be higher when Republican elected officials like smugglers falsely proclaim the border is open because of a court order to lift Title 42, an administration official told Fox News. So it's all the Republicans' problem. They're the ones that did it. Remember a few months back, just before the election, they were saying we were the ones that were causing the problems at the border because we were the ones that were saying that we had an open border when Mayorkas and others had said we had an open border long before that, and something that needed to be done about it, but nothing was being done about it because the people like Mayorkas who could do something about it weren't doing anything about it. So what do you know? I can't tell you. Don't know what to expect. Democrat Ruben Gallego in Arizona has announced that he's going to run against Kristen Sinema for her Senate seat. So he wants it. Of course, she's identified now as an independent and not as a Democrat. So he wants to take her seat and make a Democrat again. Hopefully, the folks in Arizona will stop this ridiculous turn towards becoming a blue state and get back to thinking straight and stay being a red state. Manchin in West Virginia was out on the talk circuit yesterday, still calling himself a Democrat, but was questioning some of the things that the Democrats were doing, for instance, not negotiating in good faith about the debt limit. He said that needs to be negotiated and that the president is making a unwise decision not to do that. But from what I've seen from the president, his Treasury Secretary, they are just basically telling the Republicans to go pound sand. They're not going to talk to them about cutting some spending, which needs to be done. They're going to just push ahead with what's going on right now. Of course, Manchin, who is a senator, doesn't have a whole lot to do with the House. He would like to see the president do some negotiating. Schumer has been pushing for no negotiation, but the minority leader in the Senate, McConnell is, hasn't showed his hand yet, and he might be able to get some concessions out of the Democrats. I'm not holding my breath on that, as far as that's concerned. Now, here's what Manchin would not answer on the Talking Head show, and that was he would not talk to anybody about if he's going to run for re-election. He kept his cards very close to his chest. He's not saying. He also did not say, but hinted that he might change parties. He might become a Republican.
I don't know if we need any Republicans like that, just to be honest. If he basically believes Democrat, except when it comes to the debt ceiling and the whole deal dealing with filibuster, then maybe we don't need him. And we got a good candidate in West Virginia, in the governor, who's termed out. He's talking about running for Manchin's seat, and the polls, early polls show that he probably would win. He's very, very liked in West Virginia. Yesterday, thousands of jubilant pro-life activists joined the first March for Life since the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, pledging to take their fight against abortion to federal and state legislatures. We had a great March for Life yesterday here in Little Rock. A little bit of sprinkle of rain may have dampened the crowd a little bit, but well over a thousand people were there. So good for them for showing up. A lot of people that are on the pro-life side think that that has something that has been won now, and it has not. There's a lot of questions still out. There's a lot of court cases that are going to still be fought, and do not let your guard down when it comes to the fight for life. Protesters at the 50th annual rally in March was held around the January 22nd, 73 anniversary of the Roe decision that legalized abortion nationwide, walked to Congress instead of the Supreme Court for the first time to show support for federal laws restricting abortion. On Twitter, it said, check out the time lapse of the first March for Life in a hashtag pro-Roe America. Yeah, go to Google and tap in first March for Life in 73 and see a picture of it, and then see a picture of yesterday. Really incredible how that has changed. Off of Town Hall, they said, just as then White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki did for last year's March for Life, her successor, Jean-Pierre, promoted President Joe Biden's legislative priority of making sure that it becomes law. Referring to Roe v. Wade, the narrative has been to claim that this would merely codify Roe, though the legislation in question, the Women's Health Protection Act, WHPA, Google search on that, read what the law will do, because it radically expands Roe. Under the WHPA, abortion would be legal until the moment of birth in all 50 states without any restrictions. So that's a huge jump as far as the abortion argument goes. And this is from the most extreme White House when it comes to abortion that has ever stayed in the White House, and that's the Biden administration. All right, final break, and then we'll be back and wrap it all up for a Monday. Tomorrow we will be live at the Capitol. I'll be joined by Nick Horton. He'll be my co-host at the State House. I've got to check on my guests, but right now I believe that we will have the Speaker of the House and the Senate Pro Tem together on the air. We will have State Senator Gary Stubblefield and House Member Bentley on to talk about SB 43 and HB 1152. We'll talk about that with them and a few other people who said that they were interested in coming on and talking about what's going on in the wonderful world of the legislature. I'm going to check on base with the communications manager for Sarah, see if the governor might join us tomorrow as well here on the Dave Elswick Show. So that's on tap for tomorrow. A little bit of snow in the afternoon, they're telling us, so I'll do my show, and then I'm going to get out of there. And then on Wednesday, I'll be back in studio and probably going to have to make my way here
Leave early. Going to have a couple inches of snow on the ground, and that'll make things pretty slippery in the morning, but it should burn off by the afternoon. With that in mind, here's our final break and more coming back on the Dave Elswick Show.
Enter.
All right, we move right along here on the Dave Elswick Show. And I had mentioned earlier that Ruben Gallego had announced his campaign against Kyrsten Sinema's Senate seat, and that happened today. He announced that he will run for the U.S. Senate in 2024, taking on the incumbent Democrat-turned-independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema. Now, what does that mean? Well, let's break it down for you quickly here. The congressman's jump into the Senate election will likely serve as part of a large field of candidates competing for the seat in the primary election. Among Republican contenders speculated to potentially run are Kari Lake, who lost in a run for governor in 2022, and Blake Masters, who lost in his 2022 Senate run against incumbent Democrat Mark Kelly. Several other GOP candidates are also rumored for a potential Arizona Senate run in 2024, among them U.S. Representative Andy Biggs, Juan Siskamano, Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb, 2022 gubernatorial candidate Karen Taylor Robson, and Arizona GOP chairwoman Kelly Ward. An early poll citing Lake, Gallego, and Sinema in a three-way race in the general election shows Lake at 36%, Gallego 32%, Sinema at just 14%. 1 in 6 voters was undecided, according to Blueprint Polling's January 11th survey. The poll also noted that Sinema polls low among the state Hispanic voters. Sinema gets very little support from Hispanic voters, garnering 3% of their vote. Gallego leads Lake 41-39% with that group, while Sinema gets the support of 17% of white Arizonians. Notably, Gallego does better with women by about 4% than with men, and Sinema enjoys a similar positive differential with men, according to Blueprint Polling. Sinema was often at odds, of course, in her own Democratic Party for not always backing President Biden's agenda. Most recently, the senator attended the World Economic Forum in Davos, where she spoke out against the Biden administration's border policies. She went on to say, "The key is to create a system where we get to choose as a nation who we will invite into the country and who we will not. Right now, because our immigration security system is completely broken, we are not choosing who gets to come and who doesn't. The cartels are choosing, and that is not sustainable for our country." The senator also drew attention in December after announcing that she was leaving the Democratic Party, saying, quote, "In catering to the fringes, neither party has demonstrated much tolerance for diversity of thought. Bipartisan compromise is seen as a rarely acceptable last resort rather than the best way to achieve lasting progress. Payback against the opposition party has replaced thoughtful legislating," unquote. Sinema is not alone among Democrats leaving the party. Former Hawaiian Congresswoman, former Democratic presidential candidate Tulsi Gabbard announced her departure in October. At the same level, West Virginia State Senator Glenn Jeffries left the Democratic Party in December to join the Republicans. So that's what 2024 may have in store for us. Just to be honest, it looks like it's going to be an absolutely kind of crazy, crazy kind of time that we're talking about what's going to happen. Hey, the Democrats
were normal Democrats over the weekend. You probably know about the Sunday shooting that occurred at Monterey Park. They had been searching for a gunman. They found him. He had committed suicide. He was an Asian man. We got 10 people killed, 10 others taken to the hospitals with injuries, some in critical condition. The shooting occurred about 10:22 last night at a ballroom dance facility. Monterey Park is a city of about 61,000 people with a large Asian American population, and the evening's Lunar New Year festivities were scheduled to end at about 9 p.m. Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna stated that investigators have received different descriptions of the perpetrator. That's true, but like I said, they know that who their suspect was a male Asian. They found out that he had, in fact, killed himself. Andy Negro said that Democrats focused on the mass shooting in Monterey Park, hoping that it was racially motivated. It's not. While ignoring the violent attempt of uprising last night in Atlanta, where Antifa and far-left extremists came equipped with explosives to overthrow the city's police. Where's Nancy Pelosi and all of them? All right, do their thing. And the Washington Examiner was talking about that, said the police arrested 6 protesters who turned violent in downtown Atlanta late Saturday night, setting a police car on fire and smashing windows of local businesses. And one of the craziest things that I've ever heard is this long discussion they had on CNN. Happened to be reading this story, several different versions of it, and came across CNN on the air, and they were talking about it and said, there wasn't any violence. The only violence that we saw were police tackling people. Because really, is it really violence if all you're doing is setting a few cars on fire? Their words, not mine. I mean, CNN and the people that they back, people who, you know, when they go up in front of hearings about becoming Supreme Court justices, can't even say what a woman is. Now they can't even say what violence is when they see it in front of their own eyes. CNN suggested that they shouldn't use the word violent to describe the Antifa riots in Atlanta tonight. Antifa is currently destroying buildings and setting police cars on fire. So I guess, you know, if they would, I guess, set people on fire, then it's violent. Unless you're hurting people, not if you're hurting property, but only if you're hurting people is it a violent confrontation, and that's just absolutely ridiculous to talk about that. And then last but not least, it'll take me two sentences to sum this up. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, says the crime spree that is going on in Chicago, did you hear what she said it was due to, Aaron? Did you hear it? Did you hear what she said?
Can't say I did.
Well, she said it was due because people are carrying cash now. Carrying cash. She says, make the visit victims change their behavior. If you want your civic leaders instead to do something about the criminals, you need to elect Republicans. That's according to somebody on Twitter. Lori Lightfoot claims carrying cash is the reason for the crime epidemic. That's all the time we got for today. I don't have any more time for silliness. And that's silliness, isn't it? I mean, really is. That's total silliness. Why would you vote for a Democrat? I can't figure it out. Haven't for many, 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 many years. Tomorrow, 7 o'clock, I'm on the air. Eric Horton going to join me. He's going to be my co-host at the Capitol. We'll be there for 4 hours, give you the latest of what's happening and what people are thinking about over there. I'm hoping to get David Ray on this week. He's got a lot of different bills dealing with the economy here in Arkansas, and I want to talk to him about that. So stay tuned to 101.1 FM, The Answer. We got Charlie Kirk coming up. and then a lot of other great shows. And then this time tomorrow, about 4 hours earlier, 7 a.m., I'll be with you at the Capitol. See you then here on 101.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.